Big Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
Earlier this year, I was invited to write something on the issue of population growth for a special edition of a local newspaper, Montpelier's The Bridge. I set out to write about the connection between peak oil and population growth, and I was surprised by the conclusion I found myself coming to. I thought that I'd conclude, gloomily, that diminished fossil fuel supplies would lead to a century of die-off in human population. Now, I don't think that's necessarily the case, though massive changes in the way our society is organized are necessary to avoid it, I think. Here's how my reasoning works. During the 20th century, annual world oil use soared from 160 million barrels to 27,000 million barrels, or 27 billion barrels. At the same time, world population increased from 1.65 billion to over 6 billion. Now, world oil production is bumping up against limits. It has plateaued and probably is entering long-term decline. Some geologists believe that the same is happening for the world's other main commercial energy sources, coal and gas. Does that mean that a worldwide population decline will soon follow? Not if you look to the United Nations. Their population projections show the world population growing from its present 6.7 billion to between 8 and 11 billion by 2050. What will that world look like when, for the first time, population growth goes up, while oil use goes down? One possibility is that the UN's projections haven't taken into account the decline of oil. The International Energy Agency, charged by the world's richest industrial countries with forecasting future oil availability, has until recently assumed that growth in oil production would continue for decades. The IEA has, for several years, been backtracking on that assumption, but they're still projecting wildly more oil available than most other knowledgeable observers. If the UN has implicitly or explicitly relied on the IEA's assumption of future oil availability, then their calculations are flawed. With a billion malnourished people in the world already, it's not hard to believe that the century of peak everything will also be a century of human population crash. But I don't think it has to be that way. For example, India has nearly four times as many people as the U.S., and it's more than 10 times as densely populated, but it only uses 5% of the energy per person that we do. Most preconditions for population growth require rather little energy. Widespread access to antibiotics and the rise of sanitation are two commonly cited reasons for the population increases of the 20th century. Antibiotics take very little energy to produce and distribute. They're a trivial part of the world's carbon footprint. Sanitation, often introduced with networks of pipes, pumping stations, and treatment plants, surely uses more energy than antibiotics, but it's a small part of the energy budget, even for countries with the most energy-intensive systems. Improved healthcare overall may also make population growth possible, but it too is poorly correlated with energy use. Or maybe it's just that access to high-energy, heroic healthcare has little to do with overall health. In any case, measured by life expectancy and infant mortality, Cubans are as healthy as people in the U.S., yet Cuba uses 1/8 the energy per capita as the U.S. Food production is probably an area where more energy makes a higher population possible, but not in the way most people probably believe. Big tractors and combines increase the amount of food one farmer can bring to market, but more food can be grown per acre on smaller, less mechanized farms. High-energy transportation allows some particular places to become more heavily populated than they otherwise would. Where would Manhattan or Phoenix be without daily deliveries of food and other goods from elsewhere? I think increasing population and industrialization causes increased oil use, more so than vice versa. However, highly industrialized societies are now dependent on that oil use. Drivers trucking eggs, milk, and meat to the supermarket are a key part of an oil-driven industrial food system, and they would need a whole different set of skills to make a small-scale food system work. If people move in large numbers from the cities to the countryside and relearn how to make a living off the land, it's possible to avoid a population crash. How likely that is to happen? We'll see. I'm Carl Ettenheyer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.